I still think it's very funny that Damon is the only one who's never crossed over to any of the shows.
I think it's good. Good for the originals. They truly were even, like, we don't need that man.
Yeah, no, we need Stefan.
Like, we don't need that guy. He kind of sucks. So just give us Stefan and we'll be good.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Friday's Merry Nights, very good to see you today. This week, we are watching Season 6, Episode 21, I'll Wed You in the Golden Summertime. This episode, written by Brian Young, directed by Michael Olowitz. I'm Bea, joined by my co-host Brian. Say hi, Brian.
Just hang on, I don't have a joke for this one. It's just, hi, I'm Brian. But just tell you, it is...
I know, that was really not a good one. I could... It is very early when we are recording this episode, and this is, like, the first time I have talked all day, so...
That was great. Honestly, that was amazing.
That sort of feels like... that sort of feels like... That felt like where that intro was always going to end up, because I kept trying to say it as loud as I... as quickly as I could, and, you know, therefore...
Yeah.
I got nothing, bro.
Therefore, for what?
I just want to point out, Michael Olowitz, the director of this episode, has directed a lot of episodes in late TVD.
Yes.
He also directed, he's the guy who directs Hello, Brother. And also, he directs, in the originals, he directs Fruit of the Poison Tree, The Brothers That Care Forgot, and The Axeman's Letter, which are three banger episodes in three different seasons of the originals. And then he directs...
Legacies.
He directs, like, a bunch of legacies.
He directed the series finale.
He directed the whole TVDU finale. Just don't be a stranger, okay? Like, bro?
He ended the TVDU.
I think, overall, I think this episode does a lot of great things with direction, but I just like seeing what, like, directors do. Like, what other episodes they do, because directors in shows like this, they have... I don't know if people realize how, like, directors in shows like this on network shows, like, have some power, but they don't have, like, unlimited power to make an episode, right? A lot of it still has to fall within the style guidelines of sort of the show itself, the show writ large, but like sometimes you can just see like there's a thing and you're like, ooh, yeah. So anyway, shout out to my guy Michael Olowitz. He also directed Into the Wild in season 4. What a good episode too. Like,
God, I just thought to like what like the Legacy series finale was like. I just took a peek at the future and I'm sad about it.
I loved the Legacy season finale because it was so buck wild. Like, why was... I felt like... literally, I remember a tweet on Legacy's finale night where it was like, and here comes Posey Endgame with a steel chair! And that's all I can think of when I think of the Legacy's finale.
Klaus on a Zoom call.
Like, what?
Honestly, great way to end the show.
It's truly so chaotic that you're like, oh yeah, this is Legacies. This is pure Legacies right now.
Legacies is camp, and she looks it right in the eye.
Like, Posey Endgame with a steel chair was truly not something I expected.
I don't think anyone expected that one.
The IMDb summary for this episode is, Elena and Bonnie help Joe with last-minute wedding preparations. Period. That's it.
That's it. Okay, hold on.
That's it.
I'm pretty sure the Netflix description was probably better than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a feeling. Have a good or real feeling. Hold on. Let me check the HBO. I'm sorry. It's not HBO Max anymore. It's Max.
The summary on the wiki is, it's Alaric and Joe's wedding day, and Elena and Bonnie do their best to help a stressed-out Joe with last-minute preparations. After uncovering some life-changing news that Damon has been keeping from him, Stefan takes his brother on a road trip to give him some perspective on his future with Elena. Elsewhere, when Caroline returns to Mystic Falls after dealing with the fallout of her humanity-free rampage, she begins making amends with their friends and comes to the realization comes to a realization about her and Stefan's prospects of being together. And finally, when Bonnie begins to have vivid nightmares that Lily is coming after her, she enlists Matt's help in taking Lily down. Tyler and Enzo and Liv also appear. That's a better...
Yeah, she's not being cast.
I know, but I like her.
She should have been this season. That's my...
She should have been.
She should have been.
Like, she was fun. She's the most fun... She and Enzo are, like, more fun than, like, Matt and Tyler right now.
You could have booted... Oh, we are. You could have booted off, like, those two, and we would have been okay with it.
Yeah, literally. That's a pretty good rundown of what happens in this episode. Bonnie? Okay.
Yeah.
Our girl is having nightmares. She's having nightmares that Lily and Kai are after her, and... Kai does this, like, funny thing where he's like, oh, no magic? Yeah, I was spooning you earlier. I might have siphoned you in my sleep. Which, like, ugh.
And you know, and I know those Bankai shippers. I know where you are. Those Bankai
shippers were living for this.
They were living for it. I know who you are. I have your address. I don't have your address. I'm not doxing you, but I will find you.
But I could.
And I will make you watch Delana.
Not the Delana edits, no.
Delana edit. No, I'll make you watch the Kai and Damon edit of the Rain Kiss.
Bonnie's having a pretty bad time, and she enlists Matt to help her, which, like, I get it, because he's, like, the vampire hunter, but also...
Yeah.
Matt, really? That's who you're going with? Come on.
Yeah, I did, like, when he said, though, like, when he was, like, when Bonnie Bennett has a hunch, you don't ignore it. I'm like, thank you. This is the smartest thing you've said the entire series.
Literally, this is the smartest thing you've ever done, I think, was have a box full of vampire hunting tools in the back of your truck.
Yep. Just have a box of weapons ready when Bonnie says, hey, can we kill somebody real quick?
And you just go, yes, ma'am. And then you do it.
If Bonnie Bennett actually told me, like, hey, can you kill this person? I would say, yes, queen. Yes, God.
So, they get a call that Joe's, like, wedding planner has the flu, and she is out.
Joe
is like, OMG, I'm panicking. She is, like, she is already stressed. She is not feeling it. And then Caroline walks in, and she's like, however good your wedding planner was, I'm better.
Which deserved.
When we needed her, she arrived. Just like Jesus, she is here when you need her.
Caroline heard wedding planning and she's like, hello.
I love it. She does this fun thing this episode where she is combining her, like, post-depression apology tour with being helpful at wedding planning. And I really like that because it feels very Caroline. And also it's so good because, like, there is nothing worse than, like, the post-depression spiral apology tour.
God, it is. I've had to do it this year. It's not fun.
It's not fun. Because you have to be like, hey, yeah, sorry I ignored you and did cancel all of our plans. My brain is bad. And then you just have to expect the other person to, like, forgive you. Or you have to, like, do shit to make up for the fact that your brain is bad. And either way, feels bad.
My favorite, the third option, is just cut them out of your life completely. Because they didn't give a damn.
Mm. I like your scorched earth method. I'm kind of into it.
Cut them out.
I'm isolating again. But yeah, Caroline is on her, like, post-depression binge apology tour, which is a feeling we all know well, unfortunately.
Yes, sadly. It's not fun, but hey, do.
She's working through her way apologizing to everyone, and she's like, I'm going to save Stefan for last. Stefan, by the way.
Smart.
Very smart decision. She's like, I can get the easy little ones out of the way. Like, Elena already wants to forgive me.
I know. The easy ones, easy, easy, easy. Like, get your besties. Even Tyler was easy. But, like, Stefan, I would save, like, for at least another week.
Unfortunately, she cannot do that. She only saves it for about another hour.
Yeah. She has 10 hours to do this.
But also, like, it's smart to just kind of, like, get all of your apologies out of the way. Be like,
yeah, hey. It's get it done and over with. Let them soak and see what they want to do. Like, get back to within a week with your dissertation.
Stefan and Damon are going on a little brother's road trip. He's taking Damon to like a house in the suburbs, one of the ones he lived in during his mini attempts to turn human. And he like doesn't think Damon has thought things through, like neighbors and a mortgage.
And that asshole kid of a neighbor.
And that fucking little asshole shithead kid.
But I will say though, one of my favorite things about the Vampire Diaries that they kind of do, that they do, is the Stefan and Damon road trips. I just love it. Like, it's a guilty pleasure.
You just love a road trip in this show.
I do. This show's good with road trips. It's fun.
I feel though, their road trips are always, like, two people, and it's always, like, an hour driving max. Like, come on. Give me, like, an across country, an four people in a car. Like, give me debates over snacks. Give me fighting for control of the radio. Give me the good road trip shit.
You mean the season one Damon and Elena going to visit? What was her? Oh God, what was her name? In the bar, Gina Torres. Oh God, Bree? I know she didn't survive. Bree, yes, give me that kind of road trip where they were just bickering the entire time.
Yeah, like give me a cross country road trip with the besties.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to do that. Actually, is just like road trip.
I've done it. I did a road trip from Mississippi to here to Florida. It was fun.
At the Salvatore house, Enzo stops by with an iPod of old songs for Lily. Cute son behavior, I gotta say.
Which also, like, honestly, very cute, like, very thoughtful. How the fuck is Lily gonna work that thing?
Yeah. Lily mentions it later that she's like, I don't know what that is or how to work it, but, like, thank you, I guess.
Thank you for the MP3 player. Thank you for
the undisclosed. Like, it's just so...
The MP3 player.
She's just so funny.
My Zune.
It's very funny.
It is very funny. And I thoroughly enjoy when they do, like, this crazy shit on Lily. It's perfect.
Also, like, why don't they, like, leave a radio or something going? I bet it's boring to desiccate.
I would probably hate it. I'd probably want to desiccate faster at that point. Just be like, I almost have said something that could have been taken out the wrong way. Anyway, like, I probably would have been like, bleed out faster. Like, let's go.
Anyway, Bonnie goes to check on Lily, and Lily is like wide-eyed and crazy and talking to herself, and she strangles Bonnie through the bars of the like prison room.
Which, Bonnie, I love you, girl. But like, and you should, Bonnie should know better after dealing with one psychopath. With dealing with one psychopath.
Bonnie, come on, girl. Don't get close to the bars. That's like rule 101. Come on.
Don't go to the bars.
Also, you're like a witch. Just like send out some magic to see if you hit her. Come on.
Just send a blast, see what happens.
Exactly. Just blast a bitch, see what happens. Who cares? Bonnie does manage to fucking pry Lily's hands off of her throat, which like, ooh, hardcore. Strong, yeah. Too. Damn, get it.
I also think, like, Lily probably was, like, weak enough still. Yeah,
exactly. But still.
I'll give Bonnie the girl boss credit.
I'll give her a little girl boss credit for this one. Elena's covering up the bruises later, and she explains sort of, like, the craziness that comes with desiccation. And Bonnie's like...
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about this. Elena's human.
Oh, yeah, she took the cure last episode. She's totally human.
Yeah. She's just vibing as a human all of a sudden, and she's doing great. Catherine, on the other hand, was like a mess.
I want to talk about that Catherine thing later once Damon makes his big decision, because I have questions. I have many questions.
Okie dokie.
Bonnie is worried that Lily won't give up on the idea of getting her family back, like, even without the Ascendant, because, like, there's always a loophole. What if there's a loophole? There is, Bonnie. Yeah. You're correct to be worried, but thank you so much.
Yeah, I would be very worried, like, especially with fucking Lily.
And, like, the dreams you've been having? Girl, be more worried, actually. You're not worried enough.
Yeah.
Caroline ropes Tyler into helping with the floral arrangements as a way to make him listen to her apology. And Tyler
Smart.
Is like, yeah, you're forgiven. Whatever. He's like, I get it. I feel it. We both been kind of going through it. You sort of went through it there. It's fine. You didn't kill me. Whatever. Like, everybody's okay. Whatever. He's distracted because Liv shows up. And Liv is still angry at him for dumping her.
But she's rocking a sick-ass bob.
But she has such a cute little, like, haircut that, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Who needs to make a brand new bob?
She's a brand new bitch with a brand new bob. Elsewhere in wedding preparation land, while picking up more flowers, Bonnie tells Matt about her Lily and Kai nightmares, and she shows him, he shows her his bag of vampire killing tools, and he's like, why don't we just deal with Lily ourselves, like, just end it. And
which is a smart idea.
I don't necessarily hate this idea from Matt, actually.
It's a smart idea on paper, but it's a bad idea when you involve Matt Donovan. Bonnie can do it. Great. Matt hasn't killed a vampire yet. Has he? Yes, he's fought them and lost and died.
Yeah, I don't know if he's killed one yet. No, he has, yes, right?
What's with the cocky attitude, bitch? Like,
I know, he's like, let's deal with it ourselves. Like, okay.
Come on, like, you're not Buffy. Come on. You're not the one girl in all the world to show someone.
Back in suburbia, Stefan is trying to give Damon a taste of what it'd be like to be human, complete with, like, TV dinners and stacks of paperwork. Stefan's like, you're gonna have to find a way to make money because I can't give you any, because if, like, they have to disappear. Like, if Stefan knows where Damon is, anyone could torture him for more information on Damon. And like, sooner or later, like, the word will get out that you're human, and all the people who've wronged you will come after you. But Damon's like, don't worry, I got a plan. I bought this bar in Tribeca, and there's an apartment over top of it, and, that's his big plan. That's his whole plan.
See, those are the plans that you make, like, when you're in high school.
And this feels very much like, do you remember, like, two episodes ago? I don't know if you were here for this episode, actually. You have some ratings to catch up on. We'll do that in a second. But
I do.
That was, like, Elena's dream that he, like, pushed her to give...
go along with?
To, like, give voice to, I think. He, like, kept pushing her for a more specific dream. And, like, come on. Anyway, Stefan calls Elena, and Elena's like, push him. Make him see that he won't be happy. Which, like, I'm not sure that's the goal you're wanting here, bestie.
Yeah, even Elena's like, I don't want this for him. Then break up with him!
Literally break up with your boyfriend. Break up!
Like, break up with him and, like, let him figure out his shit, and when he's ready... let him figure out that shit.
Also, again, still wondering why they could not have done this dream as vampires. Again, why could you not have done this while you were vampires? Like, I super hate to break it to you. Like, if Elena's still going through medical school and everything, and Damon's just, like, a bar owner, you can stay there for, like, 10, 20 years. Like, come on. You can adopt a kid. You can, like, I don't know why they're like, we have to be human for this to work. No, you don't.
It's the principle of the, I don't know, I got nothing for this one.
I just think it would be fun to be a vampire doing lame things. I think we should have more representation for vampires who get jobs as, like, high school teachers. Like, more representation for, like, vampires who are just normal dudes.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's apparently a cocktail reception before the wedding.
Which, love.
Love? Also, though? Really?
Yeah, my friend's wedding kind of had... oh, no, it was after. I lied.
Yeah, I always think there's like you drink after the wedding.
Yeah,
you sort of show up, mingle for a little bit, wedding vows happen, and then you drink uproariously. You drink so much. Yeah,
you drink, you party, you get blackout drunk, you hit on Aunt Carol.
Maybe, like, is a cocktail reception, like, is that a rich person wedding thing? It feels like a rich person wedding thing.
Yeah,
to have both drinks before and after the wedding. That feels rich.
Yeah. I think so. I'm trying to think of, like, a wedding that I've been to where they're like, you can drink before the wedding. And it's like, well, why would I want to do that?
Why would I want to do that? I want to drink after the wedding when everything's done.
Yeah, see, when you go to a wedding, you just grab a flask and that's what you want.
That's the Alaric Saltzman method.
Exactly.
Elena's worried that she made a mistake by taking the cure. And Joe's like, okay, let's talk this over coffee so you don't, like, drink your way through another glass of champagne. And Joe goes to make coffee, but then she gets wobbly on her feet and she, like, kneels over. She, like, whacks her head on a nearby desk and...
Piano. I think it's the piano.
Girly? Girl.
Yeah.
You're a doctor. You should know that if you feel bad, get down. Like, yeah, I mean, especially if you're pregnant. Girl?
Yeah. She's putting too much stress on herself. I'm like, think of the babies.
Think of the babies. At the hospital.
They have a spinoff.
Please, they have a spinoff. They have a whole spinoff. They can't have fetal brain damage, please.
Oh, that actually explains a lot. Now that
at the hospital, Joe and the babies check out fine, and the doctors just presume that she had a panic attack brought on by all the stress and not enough food. Probably true. Joe makes Elena promise not to tell Alaric about it. And so Elena's like, yeah, totally, for sure. And then she rushes outside to meet Alaric before he can go in. And it's just like, Joe is like, you have to promise not to tell Alaric. And Elena's like, yeah, bridesmaid's honor, scout's honor, I got you. And then like next scene, hard cut to Elena being like, Alaric, it's okay.
She's fine, she's not dead, everything's okay.
Elena is, like, frustrated that she couldn't vamp to Joe to help her or feed her blood after Joe got hurt. But then she was like, I called 911 and I found the whole thing empowering. I feel connected to the world again. Like, I have a purpose. Okay, girl.
I'm connected to nature. Nature is one with me.
Like, I am back in society. Like, I feel connected to my fellow people and society. Girl, you could also still call 911 if you were a vampire.
Yeah, it's
probably have if you were a human. If you had a human bestie who fell, you should probably call 911 anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is that she didn't. She's only been like a vampire for like two years.
Yeah, like a year and a half.
Like, I understand, like, yeah, it's probably like very different, but like you probably feel like very different after like, you know, having like probably like a high metabolism, like all that other good, all that other good shit. Oh shit, maybe I want to be a vampire. But like, it's not like she hasn't been human before.
Yeah.
It's like it hasn't happened that long ago. It's not like Stefan or Damon became human, that'd be like the Catherine thing too.
Yeah.
Like that I understand. Like Catherine like trying to vamp places and like go flan.
Like I get it, but also girl, be so serious right now. Anyway, I just think that's kind of corny that she's like, I feel connected to the world again. Girl, you were a vampire for like 9 months. Like, come on.
Yeah, you were a vampire for 2 minutes. Like, you're fine.
You're good. At the venue.
Like, you will survive.
You will survive. You will thrive. It's okay. At the venue, Caroline tries to urge Tyler to work things out with Liv, but he brushes her off. And Caroline dodges a call from Stefan. She's booked and busy today. Her. She is on her apology tour. She does not have time for extraneous phone calls. Back in suburbia, Stefan is not letting Damon slide through with this. And I appreciate this, actually.
Yeah. So, fun fact, I have another fun fact about this episode, too. I'm very, like, I have a lot of history with this episode for some reason. Oh, we weren't recording when I first said this. This was the original first episode of Afterbite that I recorded by myself in 2015, drunk in front of the camera. There is no footage to find. I deleted it.
Oh, damn.
I know. I really wish I still had it. So, like, when they had their Vampire Diaries, their official recap show, this is the first time one of my tweets got on that show with Ariel Kebble. And she read, and I think the tweet was, hold on, what was the tweet? I think it was, Stefan is dropping all these truth bombs on Damon. And I, like, blah, 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 blah. And, I was like, and I, like, did, like, one of those, like, no, Damon, you wouldn't last a day as a human. I was like, damn. But hearing Ariel Kebble read your tweet out loud for two people to see in the one video, it felt great.
I'm so glad Ariel kept getting work with TVD after they killed her off so early in the season one for no good reason.
They just kept her going, like.
That's because they knew that everybody liked her. As soon as they killed her off, they were like, ah, oh, fuck.
We can't get rid of her.
Like, she was everybody's bestie.
Yeah, she was. She's my bestie.
So, Stefan pulls out the big guns, basically asking Damon what happens if he and Elena break up, and he reminds Damon that 4 years ago, Stefan and Elena were soulmates, too. And he, like...
I feel like Stefan and Elena were bigger soulmates than Damon and Elena were.
Yeah, not to be...
No, and this isn't like rude. Oh my god, Brian, you ships to Elena, so, like, obviously you're gonna say that. It's like, no! It's because they were legitimate soulmates!
Literally... soulmates. Like, yeah, like literal soulmates. Damon is just a dude in a leather jacket.
Just a dude in a leather jacket laying in the middle of roads.
Sorry, one second. I'm grabbing a little baby boy.
You're fine.
I have acquired a little baby boy. Ooh. He doesn't meow a whole lot, so you can't hear him, but he is here in my arms. Ow! Ouch! Ouch! Okay, now he's no longer here in my arms. Yeah. You can still stay here, though, bud. Want to sit down? Don't eat the Kleenex, please. Sir. Sir boy, please. Okay, bye. Good talk. Love you. Alrighty. Basically, Stefan gives Damon a glimpse of, like, their future, like, 2 years in, when Elena comes home late from work with no time for Damon, and then 7 years in when Damon comes home drunk from the bar and he blames Elena for not being able to do the things he did as a vampire. Damon, like, snaps out of the vision and he accuses Stefan of trying to change his mind because Stefan doesn't want to lose Damon and Elena.
Which, I kind of think, I love how I'm whispering, like, I'm putting, like, my hand up to my, like, the microphone, like, I have a secret. But, like, I fully, like, believe that this is the reason why Stefan is doing it. Yeah. Like, he's not ready to lose either of them.
And, like, I get it.
Stefan has trauma.
I get he has...
That trauma being abandonment issues.
I get he has his issues. But...
Yes.
Girl.
If there was a one-way ticket out of Damon's crazy town...
Take it.
I would take it. Unless Damon wanted to give me, like, $1 million, then maybe I'd keep them around. Which, so, also, I love how they're like, Damon won't have any money. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's fine.
Yeah. But, like, humans burn through money pretty quickly because it is very expensive to just, like, live.
Inflation. Oh, my God.
And also, like, if you're supporting your spouse while they're going through medical school...
Yeah.
And theoretically not making any money. I don't know if residents make any money.
Also, I think Elena probably has a trust fund. Like, Elena feels like a trust fund baby.
Her dad was a doctor.
Yeah. He owned his own practice. And so she has, like, she has property value. She owns property.
But didn't it burn down?
They
burned it down, right?
They burned it down in season one.
Yeah. So she has a lot in Mystic Falls.
She has a burnt up house in Mystic Falls. She probably still owns the land, but the house is probably, like, gone. And then, like, her dad's office, I think the basement, like, burned down, like, see the Founders Day episode.
And Finally, Stefan points out that Elena is human and could die at any time, and he gives Damon a look at his booze-filled, sad, and lonely life without Elena. And, like, damn. Roast his ass.
I know.
But also, like, so true. Damon has zero hobbies. Like, Stefan, like, he fixes cars for fun. He, you know, like, he seems like the kind of guy to just, like, go to a coffee shop and read a little bit. Damon has no hobbies besides drinking.
Damon's and murder.
Damon's two hobbies are drinking and then laying out in the middle of a road.
That's a fun hobby. I do it all the time, every Saturday. So I have to do it later today. I have it on my schedule.
It's blocked out. It's a three-hour block.
Three-hour block. I've got to find a road.
So Stefan, like, confesses that this look at his human life was Elena's idea, and Damon's like, that's pretty fucking cruel. And Stefan's like, yeah, listen, but you have to want to be human for you. You can't want it for Elena. You have to want it for you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, get his ass. Get his ass.
Drag her. Slay her. Sipping on that true tea, hunty.
So now we're at the cocktail reception for the wedding, which is, I think, a rich person thing that you and I are just not privy to.
Yeah.
Stefan shows up. Caroline runs off. Elena asks Stefan what he thinks Damon should do. And Stefan's like, listen, Damon was pretty aimless as a human. They conveniently leave out that he was a fucking Confederate soldier. And Damon, like, really, like, he found himself when he became a vampire. With less than an hour to go before the wedding, we cut over to Matt and Bonnie, who are heading down to the cellar to deal with Lily. Once inside, they both drop to the ground, feeling like their throats are closing up. Yikes! Bad time. Did they tell anybody they were doing this? Of course not. Why would you? Why would you inform other vampires that you're trying to kill a vampire or anything? Anyway, at the Mystic Grill, because they never go anywhere else in this fucking town.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Hold on. I need to look at the transcript of this episode because I fucking think Matt mentioned taking Lily to the border. Why? Sorry, one second.
Did he?
Oh, no. He said, Matt, the exact line Matt said was, all we have to do is knock her ass out and drag her to the boiler room, not border. He just didn't enunciate. Jesus
Christ.
Why
the boiler room, though? Kill her in the...
Literally, why the boiler room? Just kill her in the cell. Why are you knocking her out? Just murder her.
Yeah. I feel like this is like the Three Stooges kind of thing.
It really is.
Feels very Three Stooges, like boing.
Boing.
I gotta.
At the Mystic Grill, Enzo is surprised when Lily shows up with him and she's like, hey, thanks for dropping off an MP3 player. I don't know what that did, but like, I assume it was something good. And I'm just happy I'm getting my family back. Thanks, bestie. So now she is bringing Enzo into the fold a little bit, which I think is very cute.
She's very cute, but also very evil.
She's so evil. Right before the wedding, Alaric calls Joe, and they have, like, a cute little thing.
It is very cute.
I love him.
It actually made me cry.
He's like, hey, I just need help with my vows. What rhymes with battlefield clamp? And Joe's like, divorce, I think.
Like, they're too perfect for each other.
They're so cute.
Like, it's just, they're so perfect. And I hate it.
And you know it's going to end badly.
Oh,
Last episode, there was that line where Alaric was like, after the wedding, you and I are just going to fucking disappear. And you're like, oh, okay, so one or both of you is going to die at this wedding. Good talk. Great.
Yeah, love they that never for should you. Have said that.
And, like, but it's like, just, because you know TVD, like, there is a guillotine hanging over their heads right now.
At all times.
Are so cute and in love and happy and, oh, my God.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. We'll talk about when we get to that scene. When we get to that.
Yes. Alaric makes a comment about all of the Gemini witches that are at the wedding. And Joe's like, okay, well, you haven't seen my dad, have you? And Alaric's like, no. But, like, good job. Like, big of you to invite your attempted murderer to your wedding.
And you know what?
Yes.
Mystic Falls.
Mystic Falls, man. It's your dad.
That's, yeah, like, I would invite
sometimes,
him too.
Sometimes I do not like my dad very much. I'm still probably going to invite him to my wedding. You know? Like,
yeah.
Sure, he didn't attempt to murder me, but also, like,
I can't invite my dad. It's complicated. He's dead.
It's not that complicated. Sorry.
I love making that joke. It's so fun.
It always makes me feel bad for laughing, but then I know that you're laughing at me, so.
No, no, okay. No. My dad would, if my mom was dead, he'd be making those, he'd be making dead mom, or like dead wife jokes, like.
Exactly. Like, it's funny. Like, you went through the trauma of having this person very important to you die. Now you get to make the good jokes.
The 19 jokes. Years, asshole. Still going through it.
Anyway, Joe makes some quip about, like, her dad giving really good wedding gifts. And then her dad steps out behind her, and he's like, should I just, like, leave my gift and, like, skedaddle then? And she's like, OMG, what are you doing here? And he's like, you're my daughter, and I, like, I don't expect you to
say yes. Also invited me.
But you did invite me, and also, if I didn't at least ask to walk you down the aisle, I couldn't live with myself. And, like, yeah, they're so sweet.
That's really nice. Like, it's very sweet.
They're so sweet.
They are. Joshua, you can win this time. You have a win.
Also, I forgot how much of a dilf he is. Sorry.
Yes!
He's kind of a little, you know?
Geminis are hot. What can we say?
That family? Incredibly good genes. You know, like, I feel exactly. Like...
I don't get it.
I'm about to make a very bad joke. But...
Incest?
I was about to make... When you have a family who's very, like, incesty, right? You either have the Gemini coven, where they're all hot, but they have fucked up magic, or you have, like, the Habsburgs, who are all fucked up physically.
Have, like, an ear growing out of their arm. Like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have the Habsburgs, or you have the Gemini coven. Sorry. Sorry. We had to make that joke.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway, right before the ceremony, so Stefan, and Elena talk, or Stefan and Caroline talk about how, like, he's scared that he's, like, worried about losing Damon. And Caroline recaps for Stefan how poorly she's handled her feelings for him. And Stefan's like, that's because you're a control freak who hates being not in control. But that's what falling for someone is. It's giving up control. And she's like, you know, she makes a very, I think, mature decision where she's like, listen, I'm sort of really kind of still going fucking through it right now. Control is kind of all that I have right now. And I am not ready to give that up.
Good for her.
So very, like, I think it's, like, a very good decision for her, I think. It's a good one. Because they, like, I feel like they come to, like, a mutual understanding of, like, listen, I am very much sort of going through it currently. Let's revisit this later. Yeah.
We'll unpack that trauma later.
Let's circle back. Can we circle back in a little bit? We'll circle back.
Can you circle back to me as per my last email?
Yeah. She's like, listen, our synergy is great. I think the brand synergy is phenomenal. I just think this working partnership is not for us. We need to circle back on this later. So. Elena is at the altar making, like, last-minute arrangements when Damon walks in. And Stefan did not go fucking easy on me. His argument was pretty convincing. I had made up my mind. But then, flashback to Stefan's old house, like, 2 hours ago. Damon is arguing with a literal child.
destroyed a soccer ball for no reason.
Just fucked this kid's entire day up for, and truly, like, yeah. Thought. He sees this old couple pull in to the driveway down the block, and the old man sort of, like, gets out of the door and opens up the passenger, gets out of the car and then opens up the passenger door for his wife to get out. And he's like, hey, don't forget the, and the old woman is like, the leftovers. I know, you told me 3 times, like,
hey.
40 years and every time, did you remember the leftovers? Like, I'm getting senile or something. And she's like about to walk up to the house and her husband, her husband is like, hello. And she like kisses him and then they head inside and it's like very cute.
It is adorable, and I think this, it's, like, the most genuine relationship in every, like, vampire, in all the Vampire Diaries.
And it's these two unnamed old woman and old man.
Yeah.
So true. And Damon's like, listen, I'm taking it. I've been a vampire for a very long time, Elena. It's been a blast. I would give it up in a second to be your husband, your partner, the father of your kids, etc., etc. And Elena's like, you can't just take it from me. And Damon's like, that's where you guys are wrong. Like, I can take it for us. Because even if it doesn't work, even if it all goes to hell, even if I'm miserable and alone, the smallest chance of a perfect life with you is infinitely better than an immortal one without you. And I know this, and I love you, and I will love you until I take my last breath on this earth. They kiss. It's cute, I guess. Won't Damon die, like, the minute he takes the cure because he's 170 years old and...
Hello, and welcome to Brian's Lore Corner. Today we're discussing the cure.
Okay.
okay, so here's how the cure works. My understanding of how the cure works.
Okay.
So Catherine took the cure, and it was inside of her system until Silas drained her. As soon as the cure was out of her blood system... she started aging. So as long as the cure stays within Damon's body, he'll be fine.
So Elena took the cure, and now Elena's blood is the cure, if I correct?
Yes.
And yes. So as long as Elena's blood remains in Damon's system, he's good.
And then it becomes his blood. His blood will then become the cure.
Okay.
He has to basically... they have to basically, like, drain it from Elena, they said, but I also think Silas was lying about that. They could probably just take, like, a vial and just go, oh. And then, yeah. It's, like, a weird mystical property thing. I think, like, it kind of just realizes, like, it finds the vampire and it's like, hello, you take the cure. Woo-hoo. But, like, Elena will be okay because Elena's, in this universe, is, like, 22 years old.
Yeah, she'll, like, just age year.
She'll just age, like, to, like, with the age she's supposed to be. Damon, however, like, if he takes the cure, like, right now, and then all of a sudden the cure is taken out of his body, dust. Dead. Glad. He'll start to die, like, slowly. Like Catherine did. And age rapidly. So, that's how the cure works.
Thank you, Professor Brian, because I did not...
Thank you. All right. That's my time for the week. I'll see y'all later.
Alrighty, we'll see you back at the season finale.
Hey.
Later, a little bit later in the afternoon. The ceremony is overdue to start, but Matt and Bonnie are nowhere to be found, and Elena and Damon are also MIA, having sex in a barn that's right next to the ceremony, I guess?
Here's the thing, and this is the best way I can talk about. This is the best. Spoiler alert, everybody. I think this is cause for celebration. The Damon Limp, the sex scene. Because it is the last Delana sex scene we are ever going to get.
Yes! This is the best day of my fucking life.
We are free.
We are finally goddamn free.
This is the last one. No more Delana sex scenes. This is the last time.
I didn't even realize. As I was watching it, I didn't even realize this was my last time watching a Delana sex scene.
I did. Oh. I did, and I was like, B is going to be so happy about this.
You're right. I am. Thank you. That made my day way better. Thank you so much, Brian. You're
so welcome. But yeah, I don't know why they did this. And also, how they got dressed that quickly. Damon, I understand. Vamp speed. Elena, girl.
Girl, you were in a dress and you look pretty put together when we walk back into the wedding. Anyway, Caroline's like freaking out because Bonnie and Matt are already MIA and now Elena and Damon are too. And she's like, fuck it, we're starting without them. And Joe is like laughing at her and Caroline's like, it's not funny. And Joe's like, it's kind of funny. I mean, Stefan pops his head into the room and he's like, hey, look, I don't want to tell you how to run your wedding, but Caroline's like, we are not waiting anymore. Cue the music. And then Damon hears the music from the nearby barn and they rush to get ready. As they walk into the, the area right outside the sort of, like, chapel, I guess. The sort of, like, area right outside the ceremony grounds. Caroline gives them this, like, really unamused look. She's like, I hope it was fucking worth it. And Damon's like, yeah, kind of. And Caroline's like, no, not the time. Have you seen Bonnie or Matt? Actually, I don't care. Go down the aisle. Go. And they're funny.
Yeah. I love that. It was fun. It was very cutesy.
It's a very quirky little scene.
Yeah.
That I think is very cute. Back at the Salvatore boarding house, sorry, it throws me off that they, in the TVD wiki transcripts, I haven't read the transcripts in a while, they call the Salvatore house, they always call it the Salvatore boarding house. And it always throws me off.
I mean, it's just Stefan and Damon's house. That's what I call it. But it's I also call it the Salvatore house.
At the Salvatore house, Matt groans in pain and wakes up, and he's, like, her, like, wrists have been cut. Like, she's been, like, fucked up, causing her to bleed all over the floor. So, like, somebody cut their wrist and then, like, duct taped them so that she doesn't bleed out immediately. Fucked up.
That is fucked up. I don't know who would do that.
Wild. And Bonnie wakes up. She's very weak. And Matt's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, it was. And then you cut to the wedding. Ugh.
It does.
And then at the altar, Damon and Alaric are like kind of chatting while they're waiting for Joe to come down the aisle. And Damon's like, looks like I'm joining the human club. It's a big night for both of us, Alaric. And Lark's like, cool, proud of you.
Like, I'm getting married. Shut the fuck up. This is not about you.
Not your day, Damon. Joe's dad walks her down the aisle. Alaric and Joe wrote their own vows, and Alaric's are, like, pretty cute.
I know. His vows were very cute. I was very impressed with him. He did a good job.
He, like, promises, like, to, like, love her, to be with you, to love you, and to dodge fate with you for the rest of our lives. Oh, cute. I hope nothing bad happens to them. And then Joe's like, oh, that's a tough act to follow. Anyway, Alaric Saltzman, you are. And then she suddenly stops and gasps loudly. And Alaric's like, Joe? Joe? And Joe begins to sway on her feet as blood begins to pour from the front of her dress as though she's been stabbed from behind. And she falls forward and is caught by Alaric. And in a flash, he is revealed. Kai, standing behind her with a bloody hunting knife in his hands. And he's like, I was going to wait till the death do us part bit, but it seems a little bit on the nose. Am I right? And Alaric is on his knees on the ground holding Joe. And she is like on the verge of death. And Joshua stands up from his seat and rushes towards them, but Kai holds his hand, magically creating a high-pitched noise that incapacitates everyone at the ceremony. Liv, Tyler, Steph, and Caroline, everybody grabs their ears and scream in pain as Kai smiles gleefully. He's like, miss me? No? Oh, well. All the glasses and windows shatter. Damon and Elena fall to the ground. When Elena makes impact, she slams her head against the ground and is knocked unconscious. And Damon desperately pulls her up onto his lap and looks devastated as the wedding ceremony erupts into chaos.
That's not how it ended.
What?
It ended with Elena just crashing on the ground. That was the next episode.
Oh, shit. Transcripts, TVD, wiki, transcripts. Get your shit together.
Also, yeah, ouch. Ouch. So, let me take you through the motions of when I watch this live, my other favorite segment. I legitimately thought Joe was safe this entire time.
How?
Because of the babies. I was like, I legitimately was like, Julie Plec would never kill a pregnant woman. Like, she would never do that. I was sorely mistaken. But, like, when you're watching this episode, you kind of think Kai's coming back. And you're like, oh, yeah, obviously he's going to come back. They're like, this is the finale. But I thought this was going to be kind of one of those, like, because by now, by this episode, we knew Nina was leaving. Like, we knew this is the end. Like, yes, we knew. We knew that she was leaving because it got accidentally leaked.
Ooh.
Well, I think it's because Nina and, like, the cast and the crew, like, went out, like, on a lake. And they posted the pictures and, like, someone, like, tweeted, like, someone, like, said, like, with the caption, like, farewell to Nina and Michael Trevino. And it's like, uh-oh. So they had to announce it, like, earlier than they wanted to.
Yeah.
But, so by now we knew Nina was leaving. We knew Michael Trevino was leaving. And so, like, we're all, and, like, everyone's like, well, how are they going to end Elena's story? Like, we have a season 7. What are they going to do? Like, how is, like, what's going to happen with Delana? Like they're just, like, they made, like, this big, like, they're doing all, like, this big stuff. Like, they're, like, and then, like, the wedding's happening. Like, well, how the fuck is the season going to end? So my thought process was that this season was going to end, like, season 2. And, like, all the big magical, mystical stuff happens this episode. And, like, it's the final battle before the next season. And then the finale would have been Goodbye Elena, like the Goodbye Elena stuff, which kind of is. But, like, you know what I mean. Like, it would have been, like, the coda, the epilogue kind of to the season. But no. Julie Plec, in her twisted fucking mind, was like, a-tee-hee, I'm going to kill everybody.
It is so fucked up. To murder Joe on her wedding day. It's so fucked up. But also, like, they have been putting up goddamn signs the entire time of, like, some shit's gonna go down at this wedding. Like, you knew, but, like, damn.
It's just, there were signs there, but we were all so oblivious to it. Because I legitimately thought Alaric and Joe were going to end up happy and leave the show too.
And they were, like, just going to disappear.
I thought Matt Davis was leaving too.
God, I wish. What a better show it would have been had Matt Davis fucking ever left.
Yeah, but it just was, it was kind of one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, cool. And, like, you're like, oh God, yay, Joe and Alaric are going to get out of Mystic Falls. They're going to have their baby, their little siphoner babies. Like, yay. Oh. Oh, we already know. Legacies. Duh. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Forgot, like, some people have watched Legacies already. I had, like, a slight panic attack there for a second. I was like, oh, no. Like, they're going to go have their little babies and, like, be happy and, like, get out of this town. And, like, but, like, everything in my mind was, like, she's not going to hurt Joe because of the babies. Like, she would never do that. Like, they would never, like, in their mind, like, Caroline Dreyfus, Julie Plec would never, like, touch the thought of, like, killing kids. And, or, like, but, like, this, how they did their reveal and everything like this, pure fucking genius.
So,
like,
evil.
It reminded me of, like, when Catherine came back. Like, that season 1 cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun fact. Another fun fact. this episode was originally going to be the finale.
That makes sense. This, like, is a good finale.
They were going to make this episode 22, and then season 7 premiere would have said bye, Elena. And Nina was willing to do that.
Oh.
Nina was willing to do, like, I'll come back for a couple of episodes if you need me. And, like, do, like, that as a season 7 finale. But Julie Puck was like, no! We're ending it here. I kind of wish that this, but I'm kind of happy they didn't do that. Because Elena leaving, like, as a finale adds more weight to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like it more. I like it when you can clearly tell the season is done and we are starting our new thing now.
Yeah, you know this was, I mean? this is the episode that kicks it into, like, we're starting
Kai's
something.
Back. New. He's wearing a suit. He actually wore a suit to his sister's wedding. Thank you, Kai. Thank you.
And this is after he came back after shooting Contagion.
I did not know that. But
I think so. Because he had a beard.
Last episode was good. I like Kai a lot as a villain. I think he is very fun, and I think he very much is what the show needed. And then I don't know why they, like, didn't use him in season 7 and 8. I mean, like, they did, but, like, I feel like he could have been a much bigger menace. Anyway,
yeah,
that's sort of, but it also, this episode. It ends with Elena on the fucking ground unconscious.
Yeah, but you know what else has happened? If Kai is out, guess who else is out?
All of those heretics.
The heretics, those fucking lesbians are at it again.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention it, but Lily and Enzo are at some fucking warehouse district. Like,
yeah.
All right. Where's your besties? So we'll see them next episode, I assume.
No.
Oh.
We'll see outlines.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll see them in the way that we have been seeing them for the last 4 episodes, which is to say they haven't been casted yet. So.
We'll see. Air quotes.
See, air quotes. We'll see them. That's it for this ep. Brian, scale of 1 to 10, what do you rank in this episode?
I'm going to go 9.
You're going to go 9? That's a fair ranking.
9.5. Right. I'm going to bump it up a little bit because I have nostalgia attached to this one and trauma.
I think this episode, I feel like we went on a real roller coaster here because the last 2 episodes were dog shit garbage. For reference, I gave them a 4 and a 3 respectively. Jordan gave them a 3 and a 5 respectively. Like, we did not like these last 2 episodes. This is good TVD. Because it is,
yes,
somebody is getting tortured. there is a wedding. They're being needlessly dramatic about everything. That's a good TVD episode. You have fun lore. You have somebody getting tortured. In this case, it is Damon getting tortured by his own brother. And then you have some, like, quippy fun lines. That's all you need. That's so good. I'm going to give this a 9 because I think it's very fucking fun.
It is.
Brian, actually, before we continue, what's your ranking for Because and I'd Leave My Happy Home for You? Like I said, for Because, I gave it a 4 and Jordan gave it a 3.
So, Because I kind of like that one, so I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I like the Caroline turning on her humanity stuff.
I mean, like, yeah, that was the only good part of that episode.
Yeah, like, it was just fun. It was just me.
That was a good part of the episode. That was, like, 5 minutes of the episode. So, I'd Leave My Happy Home for You. I gave it a 3. Jordan gave it a 5. What are you going to give it?
I really don't remember this one, except for, like, we saw Elena's house again. And that was human. Maybe a 7.
Fair.
Like, I have trauma because I want to know what's in that letter.
I think Jordan and I got really pissed off because they fucking used the original letter. Like, why would you give the original letter to your friend who is sort of currently on a self-destructive spiral? Like, make a photocopy first.
I have a feeling they could have, like, I had, like, an idea of, like, legacies that they brought Caroline back. Them just, like, magically getting the letter back and then Caroline gets it. Like, woo!
I wish. But unfortunately, no. She just suffers. And truly, like, for fucking what? For fucking what? That's it. Who's the MVP for this episode? Elena? Maybe?
Maybe Elena, yeah.
I mean, like, what did... Caroline is cute because she's on her apology tour and I like it. And she's... I think... Caroline's, like, making this wedding run. She's making good decisions for herself. I love her for that.
Yeah, Elena...
Elena's just kind of there. She's like, I love being a human. Okay, whatever. Congrats, you can use taxpayer dollars to call an ambulance. I'm so happy for you.
I don't know what else.
I don't know who else would earn it. Like, it's got to be Caroline to me, because she's the only one who did shit this episode.
She's getting her life together.
She's getting her shit together. Caroline is, I think, unless somebody else comes in with a steel fucking chair, Caroline is, I think, the front runner for most MVP of this season.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, nobody else is close enough to touch her at this point, no matter who gets the MVP for last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's at 6 right now, and the closest person is Kai at 3. Or Bonnie and Kai are tied at 3. So, you know, anyway.
Love that.
Next time on Afterbite, season 6, episode 22, I'm thinking of you all the while.
I am so ready to talk about, I love this episode, the next episode.
Season 6 has a really good finale. Season 6, I think, is a pretty strong season overall.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about our overall thoughts of season 6 in the bonus episode after the finale.
I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
So next time on Afterbite, the finale, you can follow us on Twitter or Tumblr at AfterbitePod. If you want to follow us there, ask us questions. I will get the others in on it. Brian, I'll invite you to the side blog.
What?
Do you have Tumblr? I'll invite you to the side blog so you can like publish things on it if you want.
I do Tumblr.
Anyway, follow us on Tumblr. Because I actually am enjoying Tumblr more than I'm enjoying Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it's called. So, I'm a Tumblr girly now at heart. Anyway, that's it. Follow us on social medias. Call your mom.
Yeah. Call your mom. Wash your hands, B.
Wash your goddamn hands. I just got over COVID. Wash your fucking hands.